Hello, friends. My name is John, and today we're going to be reading some stories from today's issue of the Taunton Daily Gazette. Our first story is entitled, Portugalia Unveils Nativity Scene for Christmas Season. A giant animated presepio, or nativity scene, celebrating Azorean traditions and biblical events, waits for you at Portugalia Marketplace in Fall River this holiday season. Featuring hundreds of hand-painted clay figurines produced by Azorean artisans hailing from Lagoa, San Miguel, and a village created with styrofoam by Azorean artist Gualberto Cordeiro, known as Guco, the presepio will remain on display through January 10th. Visitors will be able to admire presepio villagers taking part in various Azorean folklife activities, secular traditions, and religious celebrations, such as the Senhor Santo Cristo procession, a Philharmonic band marching in the procession, or playing under the coreto, or bandstand, a Holy Ghost folia, and the Romeros. This is the 12th year the presepio has taken over Portugalia Marketplace, located at 489 Bedford Street. It became an instant tradition at Portugalia, so people expect it nowadays, explained Michael Benavides, Vice President of Business Development at Portugalia Marketplace, at the unveiling ceremony held December 5th. It's a way of keeping alive this sort of historical tradition of building nativities that's very typical in the Azores, and also showing things many of our clients grew up with. Roberto Medeiros, president of the Mosaico Cultural and Solidarity Association of Lagoa, Azores, USA and Canada, comes every year from the Azores to coordinate the Presepio project. Many of the pieces on display at Portugalia were lent by Medeiros, who is an avid collector of nativity figurines. Portugalia is truly the ambassador of the Presepio of Lagoa in the United States, Medeiros said. Portugalia has always welcomed us with open arms, encouraging us to grow and develop this exhibition. This nativity scene changes and grows every year. Medeiros pointed out the presepio tradition is deeply rooted in Lagoa, and the municipality is famous for its bonequeiro art, or the traditional handcraft, of creating small, hand-painted clay figures. Rooted in an 1862 earthenware factory, where workers crafted figurines after hours to support their families, Lagoa's bonequeiro art has become a celebrated symbol of Azorean cultural identity, Medeiros said. Since its first overseas exhibition in 1999, the tradition has been featured in museums, libraries, churches, and cultural centers across North America. Azorean artist João Arruda demonstrates bonequeiro art at Portugalia. This year, Medeiros brought with him João Arruda, the resident bonequeiro of Lagoa's Nativity Scene Museum, to conduct live clay modeling demonstrations at Portugalia while the presepio was being set up. I've been doing this since I was a child, but professionally since 2014, said Arruda. We used to make lots of nativity scenes at home, and I was always curious about making my own figurines. There were several bonequeiros in Lagoa, so I would always try to follow them, go to their houses to get an idea of how it was done. Then I took a course to learn certain techniques. Arruda explained the small clay figurines are made using plaster molds and then perfected by hand, allowing each artisan to add unique details and expressions. Afterwards, they are fired in a kiln at around 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit. They are slow cooked, he revealed. That takes about 24 hours. Once the pieces cool down, they can be painted. It's also in the painting process that the differences between Bonacrero A and Bonacrero B can be seen. When can you visit the Presepio? Except for Christmas and New Year's Day, the Presepio can be visited daily during Portugalia's normal business hours. Our next article from today's issue of the Taunton Daily Gazette is entitled, Casino Has Fun at Its Own Expense in New Ads. Taunton's First Light Casino has been having a little fun at our own expense in a series of Facebook advertisements promoting its business. We're kicking off a brand new series of lighthearted videos to bring a little laughter to your feed. And don't worry, we'll even be having a little fun at our own expense as the series continues. On November 27th, Facebook post from First Light Casino read, the casino is even polling its readers for advertisement ideas. A spokesperson for the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe, which owns the casino, did not immediately respond to a request for comment about the advertisements. Here's what we know. In on a video, a man walks into a trailer asking if this is where the slot machines are, only to be met with a woman yelling, get out of my trailer, before a narrator says, First Light Casino, our trailers are better than you think. For the next video, readers were asked to choose between a video fan, airplane, salesman, or hamster. Readers voted, and the hamster won. The video features a man in a hamster ball rolling through the casino, attempting to play slot machines. In that video, a narrator says, First Light Casino, better than you think, clean air, no hamster ball required. Casino has serious ads as well. The First Light Casino has also promoted advertisements on its Facebook page with more serious tones as well. We are proud to be the only native casino in Massachusetts, and that means something special, because when you play here, more comes back to you, one ad from the casino's Facebook page says. Closer than you think, better than you imagined. Exciting action just got closer to home. First Light, a native casino, is open in Taunton, and another ad video posted on Facebook. In 2012, Taunton and the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe signed an intergovernmental agreement regarding the development of a casino in Taunton. The original 2012 agreement describes a large casino project wherein Phase 1 would have 3,000 slot machines, as well as 150 table games and 40 poker tables, according to a copy of the IGA reviewed by the Gazette. But that project was stalled for years in a protracted legal battle with neighbors that the tribe ultimately won in 2024. Also in 2024, more than a decade after the original IGA was signed, the tribe announced it would be building a welcome center to its land in Taunton. The welcome center, which opened in January 2025, and which consists of temporary trailers, initially had just 10 gaming machines, but the number of machines at the facility has slowly increased over time. In March, the number of slot machines at the facility increased to 50, following a new agreement with the city. In July, the tribe began referring to the Welcome Center as a casino. Around the same time, the casino opened a new expansion consisting of additional trailers that contained additional gaming machines. Our next article from today's issue of the Taunton Daily Gazette is entitled, Court's Pending Ruling on IQ Raises Concerns. Disability rights groups fear a death penalty case before the Supreme Court could have implications for intellectually disabled people far beyond the criminal context. The justices are considering how to weigh multiple IQ scores when determining if a death row inmate's intellectual disability is severe enough that it would be cruel and unusual punishment to execute them. But how the court rules could potentially affect eligibility for government services for people with disabilities, such as health care, education services, and income support, according to advocates. More than one-fifth of working-age recipients of supplemental security income qualified because of an intellectual disability, according to a 2017 report. It's just very critical that there be a universal definition when it comes to intellectual disability, says Shira Walkschlag, General Counsel for the ARC of the United States. The ARC and other advocacy groups worry that the court could move toward relying solely on IQ tests and not factoring in other information about someone's ability to navigate daily life and how early any problems started. The Supreme Court rejected that approach in 2014, ruling that Florida could not use a single IQ test to decide an inmate's eligibility for the death penalty. Intellectual disability is a condition, not a number, the court said, in a 5-4 opinion. And in 2019, the court said Texas failed to account for the possible error range in an IQ score, assuming that a score over 70 ruled out an intellectual disability. Now, in a pending case from Alabama, the court is considering what to do when most, but not all, of a person's IQ scores are above 70 after factoring in the error range. A decision in Ham v. Smith is expected by the end of June. Disability rights groups told the court in filings that when IQ scores are ambiguous or of doubtful accuracy, then other evidence about how someone functions should be considered. During the court's December oral arguments, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson brought up the mental health community's position. They seem to be saying that you've got to look at a lot of different things in order to come to the truth or whether or not this person is actually intellectually disabled, she said. But Justice Samuel Alito suggested there would be greater consistency and predictability in death penalty cases if a defendant has to meet a concrete standard. Because people who have intellectual disabilities generally need ongoing support throughout their lives, a clinical diagnosis can help them get education, home and community-based services, and other help. Walkschlag, the general counsel for the ARC, said the Supreme Court has resisted past efforts by states to change its approach to intellectual disability assessment. It's very dangerous, Walkschlag said, to veer away from the clinical definition. Our next story from the Daily Gazette is entitled, Australian Prime Minister Booed as attack victims were honored. In Sydney, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese was booed by an angry crowd gathered at the famous Bondi Beach on December 21st to honor the victims of a gun attack a week earlier that targeted a seaside Jewish Hanukkah festival event. The nation marked a day of reflection on December 21st to honor the 15 people killed and the dozens wounded in the attack by two gunmen. With security tight and flags at half-staff on government buildings, a minute of silence was held at 6:47 p.m., the time the attack began. Television and radio networks paused for a minute's silence. Tens of thousands, including Albanese and other leaders, attended the memorial that was guarded by a heavy police presence, including snipers on rooftops and police boats in the waters. Albanese was booed by the crowd on arrival, and later when the speaker mentioned his name during the memorial, he sat on the front row wearing a kippah, the traditional Jewish cap. Albanese, under pressure from critics who say his center-left government has not done enough to curb a surge in anti-Semitism since the start of the war in Gaza, was not scheduled to speak at the event. The government has said it has consistently denounced anti-Semitism over the last 2 years and passed legislation to criminalize hate speech. It expelled the Iranian ambassador early this year after accusing Tehran of directing two anti-Semitic arson attacks. "We have lost our innocence. Last week took our innocence," David Ossip, the president of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, said in a speech to start the proceedings at Bondi. Also present at the memorial was the father of Ahmed Al-Ahmed, hailed as the Bondi hero for wresting a gun from one of the attackers. Authorities invited Australians to light a candle at home on December 21st, the start of the eighth and final day of the Jewish Festival of Lights. Albanese announced a review of the country's law enforcement and intelligence agencies on December 21st. He said the review, to be led by a former chief of Australia's spy agency, would probe whether federal police and intelligence agencies have the right powers, structures, processes, and sharing arrangements in place to keep Australians safe. The attack exposed gaps in gun license assessments and information sharing between agencies that policymakers say they want to plug. Albanese has announced a nationwide gun buyback, while gun safety experts say the nation's gun laws, amongst the world's toughest, are riddled with loopholes. Authorities are investigating the shooting as an act of terrorism. Targeting Jews. Patrols and policing across the country have been ramped up to prevent further anti-Semitic violence. Authorities believe the gunmen were inspired by the militant Sunni Muslim group Islamic State. Alleged gunman Sajid Akram was shot dead by police at the scene. His 24-year-old son, Naveed Akram, who was also shot by police and emerged from a coma on December 16th, has been charged with 59 offenses, including murder and terrorism, according to police. He remains in custody at the hospital. Our next stories are from today's issue of the Taunton Daily Gazette. First is an item stating how the recent storms in California affected customers. Power restored for about 110,000 in San Francisco after outage. Power was restored for about 110,000 customers in San Francisco after a sizable part of the city was hit by an outage on December 20th, according to the city's emergency management department and its main utility firm, Pacific Gas and Electric. The blackout affected about 130,000 residents in the California city of around 800,000 people, PG&E said. Crews restored about 110,000 customers by 7:30 a.m. on December 21st and are working to restore the power for around 21,000 who remain without electric service, the utility said, adding that there were no injuries to workers or members of the public. The outage caused traffic jams and forced some businesses to close temporarily. A large power outage is impacting San Francisco. Only call 911 for life safety emergencies. Avoid non-essential travel. Treat downed traffic signals as four-way stops. Keep refrigerator and freezer doors closed. And turn off major appliances to prevent surges. The San Francisco Department of Emergency Management said in a post on social media earlier on December 21st. Separately, Tesla's CEO Elon Musk said on December 21st the company's robo-taxis were unaffected by the outage. Brazil's Lula warns U.S.-Venezuela intervention could be catastrophic. Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva said on December 20th that an armed intervention in Venezuela would be a humanitarian catastrophe in the face of escalating actions from the United States towards regional neighbor Venezuela. On December 16th, President Donald Trump ordered a blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers entering and leaving Venezuela in Washington's latest move to increase pressure on Nicolas Maduro's government, targeting its main source of income. Lula and Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum, the leaders of Latin America's two largest economies, had already urged restraint this week as tensions escalated. But on December 20th, during a summit of the South American Mercosur bloc in Foz do Iguaçu, a city in southern Brazil, Lula made a stronger statement against what he said would be a dangerous precedent for the world. More than four decades after the Falklands War between Argentina and Britain, he added, the South American continent is once again haunted by the military presence of an extra-regional power. France to build an aircraft carrier, Macron tells troops based in the Gulf. President Emmanuel Macron confirmed on December 21st plans to build a new, larger, and more modern aircraft carrier to replace the aging Charles de Gaulle carrier and boost France's capacity as a maritime power. Macron, who originally touted the plans in 2020, was speaking to troops based at a French military base in Abu Dhabi, located near the Straits of Hormuz, a crucial choke point for global oil flows. He said that the project would boost France's industrial base, in particular, small and medium-sized businesses. Army Minister Catherine Vautrin said on X that the new vessel would enter service in 2038, around the time that the Charles de Gaulle is expected to be retired. That vessel entered service in 2001, some 15 years after it was commissioned. Some French lawmakers from the center and the moderate left have recently suggested that the project to build a new aircraft carrier be postponed due to France's strained state finances. France remains one of Europe's leading military powers and is one of only five official nuclear-armed countries. Our next story from today's issue of the Taunton Daily Gazette is entitled MAGA Clashes at Turning Point Event. Candace Owens did not speak at the opening of Turning Point's sold-out conference that kicked off December 18th in Arizona. But that didn't stop people from talking about her. The right-wing podcaster who has stoked conspiracy theories about Charlie Kirk's murder was a major topic of the first night of America Fest. Turning Point's annual conference at the Phoenix Convention Center. Conservative commentators Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro clashed over issues animating the right, such as Owens, Israel and controversial live streamer, and white nationalist Nick Fuentes. Shapiro said the GOP is in serious danger and accused Carlson of going silent on Owens while she targets Turning Point on her show. Carlson, for his part, argued for free speech. Their debate illustrated the way the right has frayed without Kirk, who was shot and killed during a Turning Point event on the Utah Valley University campus in September. Speakers lauded him as a unifying voice in the party. To hear calls for, like, deplatforming and denouncing people at a Charlie Kirk event, I'm like, what? This is hilarious, Carlson said. I kind of thought we reached the end of that, and as far as I'm concerned, we have, and I'm not going to play those rules. Nearly every speech on December 18th addressed Owens or made indirect reference to her and Fuentes, another divisive figure on the right. Owens, a former Turning Point contributor, has claimed without evidence on her podcast that top Turning Point staff and Israel may have been involved in Kirk's murder. Owens, relying on unnamed sources, has alleged that Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow, was being followed by Egyptian planes. That's all the story. That's all the time we have for stories from today's issue of the Taunton Daily Gazette. Thank you so much for listening.